John's Gospel, 14th chapter. You know, I chose John on purpose when I started doing this. The reason, because of the statement in John at the end where it says that the whole purpose of his writing would be that we would know Jesus as the Christ, and that through him, then we'd be saved. Now, if that's the stated purpose of that, I thought, you know, if we go through John, then we will get to learn more about who Jesus is. And that's a great thing. That's like life's pursuit, to know who Jesus is. And a lot of these messages, and especially today's, you know, I'm just an individual with a perspective. You know, I've lived a long, long, long time. Right? Not really. Life is brief, but life tends to give you a perspective. The experiences you go through, the difficulties you encounter, the successes you have, and everything have a big influence on who you are. And mostly what I've done in these months has just been to share what I see when I read the scripture. I read the scripture and some things come to me. I think about and I want to share them. Now I've always been pretty shy about doing that in the past. Honestly, I have been, and I know a lot of you don't think, or maybe you think I'm exaggerating about that, but that's the truth. And it hasn't been until really the last few years that I've become more bold in being able to say what I say, and thinking that maybe that would help some other people. I've never, before it was like, well, yeah, I'm having these thoughts, but I'm not sure that that would be helpful to other people. And but, you know, I listened to a lot of guys, and actually, I remember we've had some people here in the past. They're not here right now, but they talked a lot. I mean, they easily would talk. They would talk in class and different things like that. Sometimes too much, I thought. And but what I saw was you guys were very patient, and you listened. You listened to everybody, and you listened to them for as long as they talk, and you're very attentive, and you don't come up to them afterwards and you say, why don't you just be quiet? You know, why are you wasting our time? And I thought, well, man, if they'll listen, I got some things I'd say. And so I became a little more bold about saying that. That's kind of like what this sermon is going to be. Another thing I want to say today is that as we've gone through John, many times I've read long passages. We're going to do that today. We're going to read the whole chapter 14. And I do that on purpose as well. And it's not to go and try to find something important to say necessarily, or to find something that maybe the scripture is saying. In fact, my problem is I take these long passages and I'm going, you know, we could spend the whole time on one verse. I mean, it's packed full. But the reason I want to do large chunks, and have done large chunks, is to get context, to put this in the setting that it was. I think it's valuable as we learn the scripture, as we learn who Jesus is and what he's like, as we try to reap the benefit of the purpose John wrote his gospel, is to create a strong belief in Jesus as the Christ. We have to read enough of it together to get the context, to get the flow of where John, what John's point is in trying to record this, and we can benefit from it the most. But the other, you know, because John, again, had a purpose. He tells these stories. He tells this teaching of Jesus and everything for a purpose, and so on. So I wanted to read bigger chunks, and that's what we're going to do today. And the challenge is always then trying to just pull out those important things and highlight some of the important things, at least that I see in that lengthy passage, and try to bring it together for us to be able to apply. So, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live, you shall live also. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here. You know, as I thought about this passage, you know, what's going on? What's going on here? This chapter is about troubles and then peace and joy. That there, you know, the timing of this, realize these words of Jesus are coming right after the Last Supper with his disciples. This is happening, well, what happens right before this is Judas leaves the group to betray Jesus. And this is just before they leave this place, they go to the garden, other teaching, Jesus praying in the garden, the arrest, and so on. So this is right in the midst of that. Just immediately prior to this, Jesus has told Peter, Peter says, "Man, you say you're going to go and we can't go. I'll go anywhere with you and I'll die with you." And Jesus says, "Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times." All right. This passage is about being troubled. Jesus in chapter 12, while at the supper, Jesus uses this same word. Jesus says that he was troubled in the spirit. And the reason Jesus was troubled in the spirit at that time is because he goes on to say, one of you is going to betray me. Judas winds up selling Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, to the officials who are going to arrest and want to kill him. And Jesus knows this, and this troubles him in his soul. Jesus is troubled again. When he thinks about what he's got to face in the cross, he knows he's going to the cross. I mean, he's told them just not too long, you look in the other gospel accounts, all the things that he said to his disciples. He says that he's going to be lifted up, and that's a picture of being crucified. His disciples know exactly what he's saying. He says, I'm going to be crucified. And they can't process that. They can't take that in. There's a lot of troubling that's going on here. It's a troubled time. Things just are not working out like what the disciples had thought were going to work out with the Messiah. And it's a very confusing and troubling time for them. And Jesus says, this is incredible to me. So Jesus is troubled. He knows what he's facing. He knows what they're going to do and everything else. He's going to face this alone. And his words, though, to them are, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. He's just told Peter he's going to deny him three times. But don't let your heart be troubled. Judas just went out and he's about to betray me and sell me. Don't let your hearts be troubled, he tells the disciples. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Key verses, I think, in this chapter. The most key to me is verse 6. Jesus tells him in response to Thomas's question, and I really think Jesus kind of baited him into asking this, because Jesus says, you know the way where I'm going. Well, these guys, they're so confused about what's going on. And Thomas puts the words of what everybody's thinking. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know how to get there? How do we know the way? And Jesus makes this claim. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Basically, I think what Jesus is saying here is, I'm the all in all. I'm everything. You know, we're created with some very strong basic desires and needs. And of all the claims of Jesus, I think this encapsulates this idea that he is the answer. He is the only one. He is the all in all. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, we understand? When you're talking about the Father, you're talking about the Creator God who designed and made us and everything else around us. Jesus is offering the opportunity to know that person, to be with that person. And it only happens through him because he's part of that Godhead. Another key verse in this, I think, is in verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. It was difficult for them. Raised with background they did about how God is one. God is one. And you're not to worship any other God but him. And here Jesus, in his claims in John, is making himself equal to God. A co-partner with the Father. That's hard for them to grasp and to accept and to believe. He tells them, this is an essential belief. Do you not know that I am in the Father and the Father's in me and so on? And he says it in a little different way further on in the chapter 2. Listen, you've got to believe that. Believe that, okay, it's hard for you to accept that by me just saying that and claiming that, but at least believe it because you see the works I do. And you know that only the Father could empower that kind of work. Here's an essential belief. That Jesus and the Father are one. And then he goes on and he says, and that's possible for you too. You and I are one. We're together. We're in the Father. There's this, and he says it back and forth different ways. As I was reading through this, the thought came to my mind. One of the biggest hindrances for us or anybody to come to this truth, to come to Jesus, to make him the all in all, is our warped value system. Our warped value system. What we value. And I'll tell you what, and this is a warning to us, because I get caught up in this too. What do we think is valuable? In our day-to-day lives, I mean, as we're going about life, thinking about things, what is valuable to us? And there's a great danger, I think, in our society, because we have available all kinds of things in multiples. I go shopping with Diane every now and then. Walk in the store, we're shopping for, I don't know, anything, tea. Say tea. How many choices of tea are on Engel's shelves? What an abundance. I like it a little more robust. I like it a little bit, you know, whatever. The choices are there and attractive, and we can find and get whatever we want. And how hard we go after some things. You know, I have to ask myself, would I rather go to a sporting event, say, by the way, Golden State's playing the Spurs, all kinds of records at stake, or spend time in prayer and worship? And my intent here is not to make us feel guilty. Just like Jesus spoke to Peter and said, listen, before the cock crows, before morning comes, you're going to deny me three times. Jesus is not telling that for Peter. Oh, man, guilt. Oh, the burden of that. Jesus is warning him. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Be on your guard. Well, it happens. And maybe the fact that Jesus told him ahead of time saves Peter's life. Because when it happens, he remembers Jesus told him that this was going to happen. And he feels, I mean, there is time to feel bad, to feel guilty, to repent. But the timing was not, Jesus was not hammering Peter to get him to confess or to repent. The time was going to come for Peter to do that when he recognized exactly what he just did. All right. Jesus is warning and gently drawing us to him because he is the only hope. I love these songs this morning. Josh, they made me emotional. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Would I rather go to a sporting event? And I'm asking myself these questions. Do I desire a big house or a dwelling with the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son? Is an earthly kingdom where I might have special status, something that to the apostles actually asked Jesus about? Is an earthly kingdom where we have specialist status more attractive or valuable in our eyes than an eternal kingdom where peace and joy exist forever? If you had a chance to get some rock star or an athlete or a movie or TV personality's autograph, how valuable is that to you? Or to sit down with a meal with Jesus Christ? Again, there is danger in our culture because of what's available to us so easily. And it's hard to keep our value system right. There is nothing that even approaches the value of Jesus, his Father, and the Holy Spirit. And it seems like, you know, another verse. They're grieving. They're upset. They're having trouble because Jesus said he's going to go away and they can't come with him. 28 says, you heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. All right. What a hard thing for those disciples at that moment to have that kind of value system. They want Jesus there. They want him to set up his kingdom. They want things to go well. They don't want to be separated from him and everything. He said, if you knew what was going on here, you would rejoice. Again, how easy we get our value system turned around. We don't understand. We're blinded to what's really valuable many times. My sister, Patricia, and I had we prayed for her on Wednesday. She had major surgery a while back. And then last week, she developed a blood clot in her lung and had to go in to the emergency, and they were trying to deal with that. What made that more complicated for her was that some time ago, she had a dream that she developed blood clots and died. She had a dream of that. And here she is. One of my other sisters was saying that she was having a very difficult time when she got to the hospital because she thought she was going to die. And we were praying for her. My sister tried to console her, encourage her. She didn't feel real effective in doing it. My thought was, I told Diane, I said, you know what? If Patricia survives, it's my sister, she will have had an experience that people rarely have. And that is an expectation that you are about to die. Having an experience where you're convinced you're going to die. And you live through that. All right. But that experience is very real. I mean, my sister believed she was going to die from blood clots, and she has a blood clot. She believed and was facing her imminent death at that point. Guess what? Exact experience Jesus had. He knew he was going to die. He knew how he was going to die. He knew when he was going to die. In his case, he did. I want to talk to my sister. We ask, why did this happen? Why did this happen? And we don't want those experiences to happen, for sure. Why did it happen, though? My sister has just been given a very wonderful experience. Being able to relate to Jesus and what he was going through as he faced his death and how he went about and he did that. You know, we can sit here and we can imagine what it was like for Jesus to do that. But unless you go through an experience where you're actually convinced you're about to die, you're put in that situation, you can't really relate to what Jesus was going through right now at this time in his life. What a gift was given to my sister. I can't help it. That's the way my mind thinks. Our value system, though, I don't know. I don't know if my sister values that experience. I wonder when we go through troubles, our desire is to go and push them away as quick as we can to get through this. Why? You know, asking all kinds of why questions and everything else. This stinks, and I want to get back to a happy life. Paul in Philippians says, whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. I need to warn us about our values, what we value. To be able to recognize that Jesus loves us, and the things that we go through are not outside his control, are within his control, and he is transforming us. And so then these troubling experiences are helping us know Jesus better. And let's not fight them. Let's not think less of God. Let's not question him and his wisdom. But can we embrace that? And in faith, believe Jesus is all in all to us. Let's pray.